Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, what celestial body is credited with predicting the tides, the weather, our luck, and even when we'll get married? It's the moon, of course, and moon myths and legends are many and varied. But what is scientific fact and what is folklore myth? Well, we're going to have a full moon this week, and to help us sort the facts from the fiction, we'll be joined on the line by Michael Fortune, who's a folklore expert from website folklore.ie, and also Danielle Wilcox, who's resident astronomer and telescope operator at Blackrock Castle Observatory in Cork. And you're both welcome to the programme. Danielle, to start with you, you're researching and working with all kinds of exciting planets and stars, but I understand that the moon is your favourite, is that right?
Yeah, it is. And I always say that when people ask me, what's your favourite celestial body, I kind of feel like it's a cop-out because they think I'll have some deep space object. But it really is the moon. It's my favourite.
Why?
It's, for me, well, it's kind of a personal thing, too. I'm from New York. I'm from Buffalo. And so when I see the moon here, I see it before my mother does. And she loves the moon. So I get to see it and say, oh, it's going to be a beautiful moon. It's headed your way. And then a few hours later, it'll be coming up in the evening for her. And then she'll take a picture and send it back to me. So that's the personal side of it. On the telescope side, the moon changes every single night and every month. So in contrast to other objects in the sky, it'll always give me a different image, and I find that really fascinating.
Did you have a look at it last night? Because I was out looking at it around 9 o'clock last night, and it was stunningly beautiful where I was anyway. There was no cloud cover.
Yeah, actually, from here in Cork too, it was really clear last night, and it just, the sky seemed very, very clear. So the moon was really bright and beautiful.
Now, Michael, our fascination with the moon goes back centuries. Why is there, though, this lingering folklore link that the full moon can drive us all a bit mad?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I suppose it goes back to the Latin name for it, Claire, and the Latin name then is kind of passed into the word, a word that I don't like using, or we shouldn't really use, is the word lunatic. But it was an old belief that it affected people's mood and was a draw on it. But I think there's very little scientific evidence there to back it up. But still, in the vernacular, the words are still there, like words like a looter or lulad. So those kind of words that are related to the moon and that kind of effect that it may have on people, it's still there. But But even to be fair, I think a lot of it, like we live outside in the countryside, and like yourself last night, it was so bright.
Yeah.
But I know that like we've got foxes down from where we are, and we've got hens, so the foxes love travelling on a moonlight night because they've got loads of light.
Well, we always think, don't we, that the dogs bark more when there's a full moon, and there's a bit more activity at night when there's a full moon. Are we right to think that? Is it just because it's bright, or is there something else happening there?
I personally think it's bright. I notice our dogs are up barking and kind of uneasy on a full moon. You'd always notice it, you know, they're pattering around because the foxes are taking advantage of that little extra bit of light, especially in the countryside. And I suppose in the countryside, we notice that little bit more as well than in a town or city.
Yeah, so Daniel, let's talk about the science then. Is there any truth to the assertion by some that it affects our mental health, how we think, how we feel?
Yeah, see, that's always been a part of the lore, hasn't it? That it's something acting on the human body and the mind and things. But really, and like you kind of touched on it there, it's probably because of the moonlight. And when we wouldn't have been in cities with a lot of electricity and a lot of lighting at night, we would have had seen the moonlight more, and it would have been very, very bright, especially around full moons. And so in the past, there would have been spikes with like crime and things like that. And I know even in the 1700s, people in England could claim lunacy and get out of their trials if they committed a crime around the full moon and things. But it's probably because they had more light to be able to commit the crimes at night. Yeah. But we don't see that as much now.
And Michael, you mentioned the Latin roots. But I mean, the moon, the full moon in Ireland and in the Irish language, there are really strong links there, aren't there?
Yeah, well, for Gal or for Gaelic is moon. But even today, Claire, today is a Monday. It's moon day. And even in the Irish, is Deilún from Deilún, you know, and even Sunday was, yesterday was Sunday for the sun, and the Irish was slightly different. It was God's day, but even the days of the week, the moon is still tied in with that. But yeah, absolutely, like Gal is a great one for Gaelic, and it means, it's a lovely white kind of light as well. And we have, even when we're looking out, when I was driving today, I could see that the hawthorn or the white thorn was throwing out its white blossoms. So at this time of year as well, we have the Sciach Gal, you know, and it's throwing out those lovely white mayflowers that we see in all the ditches all over the country at the minute. So yeah, it's affected the landscape as well.
So we're particularly connected in Ireland with the moon and all of the folklore around the full moon.
Yeah, we are. I suppose in days before we had that kind of like advancement in science, and we can tap on apps on our phones for weather updates. I suppose people look to the weather, people look to the natural world for different hints that would help us, you know, their science and the moon. But even today is the 22nd of April, and today is the day that they said that cuckoo would come, and it was that day basically. I know that a lot of farmers now are probably getting out and doing as much work as they possibly can today, but they kind of said that today was that if you didn't get your oats or your potatoes sowed by today, it was that you'd be known as a cuckoo farmer. Now, given the weather we've all had in the last couple of months, poor old farmers, there'll be a lot of cuckoo farmers in Ireland.
Yeah, we'll have to disregard that one this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But we've always used the world around us to tell us little things the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Now, the tides, Danielle, and the moon, what's the link there? Crucial link, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So the moon definitely affects the tides. And we see that they're different from day to day. You get two tides a day. And then depending on where the moon is lined up with the sun, you'll have spring tides or neap tides. And your spring tides are your really high tides. And when I say spring, it doesn't have to do with the season. It's more, comes from springing forth. And that means your tides will be at their very highest and very lowest when they're coming in and out. And that is just when the moon and the sun are in alignment with the earth. And then your neap tides, your sun and your moon are at right angles. And so those gravitational pulls kind of cancel each other out a little bit. So then you have less of a difference between your highs and your low tides. But it is, what you're seeing is the moon pulling it's the gravitational force of the moon actually pulling the water around Earth as it's moving around. And then the sun also has that gravitational pull. So depending on how they line up, you get those different tide differences.
So what happens then when we have a total eclipse with the tides?
Oh, yeah. So we had that one with a couple 2 weeks ago. And I noticed here, because I live right on the water, and Blackrock Castle is right on the River Lee, the tides were extremely high. They were up over the seawalls and everything, because you have your moon and your sun in the same position in the sky on the same side of the earth. So you had a really high spring tide at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so you notice now they've kind of come back to normal.
So it's probably no surprise then, Michael, that there's folklore then linked to the tides, the moon and fishermen and fishing.
Absolutely. That's lovely to hear Danielle say that as well. Where I grew up on the coast of Wexford, local men would go fishing for herons, as we call them, in October. But they'd always wait till the October full moon before they'd go out. And then they'll have their window then maybe a four to 6 weeks to fish. But again, the practical thing, there was light there, so also they said that the fish would be up feeding and they'd probably be feeding more, they could see more as well. The water would be that bit higher, and that's probably the very practical side of it. But also as well, people waited. You know, sometimes we have these dates within our calendar year and we wait till this thing is at its fullest and then we say, right, let's go fishing. So, there could be a play on both there going on.
Yeah, so really that was a sensible thing to do because of the tides, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, completely. Yeah, absolutely. And again, there'd be that bit more water as well. So underneath a lot of the stuff, Claire, there would be probably practical grains of truth there that would have got lost in time.
So the moon then and the weather, what are the beliefs around what the moon, Michael, can tell us about the weather? Because we'd all love to know, wouldn't we?
We would. Come here. I was a bit like you last night. I was out looking at it before going to bed. But listen, there's loads of little bits about the weather. One is to say that if the moon is up on its side, that means it's going to be fine weather. And if it's turned on its back like a horseshoe, there's going to be rain. Other little things as well is that if there's red and green around the moon, they said there was going to be rain. It's going to be wet. Now I'm colorblind, so I can't see that. So I'm blind on the app at the moment again. Our current weather. But there's loads of little things like that where we would look at, and it'd be the same in nature as well. We'd look at hills, and there's a little verse near us: if Owlert Hill puts on its hood, the Byrie Bog is sure to flood. So we've always used little rhymes and things to tell us about the weather.
Mm-hmm. And do they work? Are they ever right?
Well, the mountain one works because if you see a big cloud coming over the mountain, you've probably got about a half an hour to get your washing in. But I don't know about the moon stuff. But I'm sure some people they swear by it. But even for planting and agriculture, some people do swear by it, like for the fishing thing or certain times of the year as well to plant, or certain times you wouldn't plant, especially with regard to the full moon.
So, Danielle, are you listening to Michael now? Are you thinking that's all hokum?
I know. I mean, that's very interesting. I was like, oh, that's why. I was trying to think, like, is there a connection there, like, science-wise? Because I was thinking about, like, the moon halos and things that happen. And it just tells you that the atmosphere is really cold because you have ice crystals. So it'll tell you what's in your atmosphere. But in terms of, like, predicting the weather itself, I'm not sure if there's really a connection there, because that would be so localized where the moon would be affecting a larger area than just where you are at the moment. So it's interesting to listen to, though.
A new moon on a Saturday is a sign that the weather will be bad for the coming month. Is that right, Michael?
Come here to me. It mightn't be right, Claire, but I've heard it. You know that kind of way. Exactly what Danielle was saying. There's loads of things you'll hear, and you'll take with a good grain of salt. Yeah, I've heard that. And you know, looking over your right shoulder was supposed to be luck. There's loads around luck as well with new moon. I remember a woman in Mayo telling me, lovely woman in Mayo telling me years ago. She said when you'd see a full moon, she'd always get your line in of your pocket and turn the money around it. So that was it. You know, it stopped the moon taking your money. Or a common one was never. I know. Another one was, well, if you looked out, you never look out at a new, or sorry, never look out at a full moon through glass. That was a common one all over Ireland. And I don't know why it was. Maybe you're supposed to go outside, not look at it from inside in the house.
Don't look at it through the window.
Yeah, don't look at it through the window.
Oh, God, I'm glad I went outside last night.
Exactly.
And what about the folklore around planting, you know, crops and dealing with animals? Are there things you're supposed to do and not supposed to do when you have a full moon?
Yeah, one of the things with growing, they said it for oats, they said it for even for any for onions, for setting onions. They said when the moon is getting fuller, when it's going to be coming up to the full moon, as we are in the last couple of days, that's a bad time to grow. So you wait till the full moon comes, and when it's on the other side, that's when you start to grow. Now, one of the theories is that basically they'll grow wild. You can't control them. Maybe because I don't know why. Maybe there could be a scientific thing to do with the light. I'm not sure, but that was definitely one of the things were grown. And likewise, the farmers at home in Wexford, I've recorded men here when they'd have to when there was a thing called sculling cattle, and you'd be dehorning cattle, but they said they'd never do it on a full moon because it's a dangerous time because blood would be up and they wouldn't stop bleeding. So that's a very practical thing.
But that might just play into the fact that it's brighter at night and they might be moving around more active. I don't know. Could be.
Yeah.
Romance, Michael, and the full moon.
Oh, God. You had me out at 11:30, Claire Byrne, last night. I was reading a great account from Galway, from the Fantastic Schools collection. And it was a lovely account of this man. He told his child back in 1937-38. And he says, if you get a basin of water and get a mirror, and when the full moon is out, you go outside and you shine the mirror up to the moon and then let it reflect into the basin of water. And then you have to go over. This is the science part. This is the experimental part. And then basically you have to be able to see the little moons in the reflection in the water. So believe me, it took me a while to figure this one out. And apparently the amount of moons you see are equal to the amount of years that you are going to get married before you're going to get married. So I can think of other ways to figure out when you're going to get married.
God, but that sounds very complicated. Or you tried that last night, did you?
Come here to me. I said to myself, if this man in Galway is talking about this, I'm going to go out. So I'll tell you what, I counted two moons and I looked in the mirror, and the only kind of fool that I saw was me looking back at himself.
Oh, God, totally discombobulated. But Danielle, you have been made aware in your life. You were at a wedding recently, I know, in India, where the moon played a role in the romance, right?
Yeah, I was actually very surprised because I didn't realize that it played such a role. And I know that across just different cultures, the moon is a very, very important figure. And a lot of times it's connected to different goddesses. And it's usually a female in the mythology. And so I didn't realize that in India, at least this was true for my friends, that they actually look at their charts and they look at when they were born and where the moon is in the sky and where the stars are aligned in the sky and all of the planets and things. So each partner has their own chart, and they look at all of those things, and then they go to an astrologist, actually, and they sit down and they basically tell them if things don't align properly between their charts, that they don't allow them to get married.
Okay. Well, they need Michael with the basin of water and the mirrors and the mirror. He'd fix all that for them very quickly now that he knows how to do it. Danielle, thank you very much. Danielle Wilcox and Michael Fortune. Great to speak to you both.